T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Overnight America. Oh boy, what a day, what a night, what a year, what an hour, what a minute. What are we doing? So tonight, lots to get over with the Viva La Resistance, Viva La Resistance. Mueller team attorney sending out anti-Trump texts. What's going on? No political bias. I think that is a bunch of malarkey, if you don't mind me saying. And a couple of reasons why. I also want to talk about the attorney general's comments from Indiana earlier today. The border wall, the family separations, the prosecutions, the ripping children from mother's arms argument that the left has really anchored on to right now. This is like their, if we're going to bring up one topic until midterm election, it's going to be the visual of ripping children from mother's arms. So I want to talk about that too. Lots to get to on the show. So the phone lines will be open. It's the last show of the week. We're getting ready for the Father's Day weekend, which I'm going to be working on the house as opposed to relaxing like all fathers should this weekend. If there's anything you would like to talk about, we're going to keep the phone lines open and ready and warmed up. In fact, you may not know this, but producer Mike is actually sitting on the phone receiver in the other room. He's keeping it warm for when you call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. What did we find out today? I mean, what was the big news, this Viva La Resistance? Are you a little, when they said there's no big deal, this whole report, yeah, it looks bad for Comey, but nothing to see here. No, there's nothing to see here. I almost want to start the show by playing what was on Fox News earlier tonight when it was Carl Tuckerson. He came up with probably the best line of the night, which was a 500-page report comes out in CNN and MSNBC apparently knew everything that was in it, was already spinning it before they had a chance to read it. So what exactly is in this report that came out? The Department of Justice report on the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation is not good for James Comey. He apparently has come out and said to the New York Times that he denies making any mistakes in the Clinton investigation. However, the only thing that Republicans and Democrats actually agree on right now is that Comey is like so messed up. Tucker Carlson, what did I say? Did I say something? Alex Degman in the other room there. Did I screw it up already? What was that?
You said Carl Tuckerson.
Carl Tuckerson? I like Carl Tuckerson better.
I kind of do too.
Carl Tuckerson. We need to come up with like a fake news persona, and that would be something like that. Yeah, who knows? Thank you, Alex. All right, so here's a couple of the things that were in the report that are worth repeating. FBI agents Lisa Page and Peter Strzok texted about stopping Trump. You may look at that and say, that really doesn't mean anything. But does it, though? If you're trying to put together a fair investigation, and I'm going to underline the word fair, I understand you have your feelings towards the person. You may not like a Donald J. Trump, in which a lot of people don't. I totally understand your reasoning for that. But if you're going to have an unbiased investigation, are you able to, in the middle of that investigation, say the things they're saying and still be led that they're actually acting on unbiased ways? I don't think they have been. I don't think they were. Strzok texted Page that he would, quote unquote, stop it being Trump's election, the indictment of the political bias. However, the report added, It is not only indicative of a biased state of mind, but even more seriously implies a willingness to take official action to impact the presidential candidate's electoral prospects. Comey also concluded that he'd let Hillary off in spring of 2016. Comey watered down his draft statement on Hillary dramatically. The original draft statement on Hillary said that she'd been grossly negligent, that was changed to extremely careless. And you remember how that came about? The way the wording was? You had all kinds of different people in the Democrat Party that was putting pressure in there. We need to make these scary terms a little bit more friendly for the election for our candidate. And it looks like Comey was playing that sort of political. How is that not political bias, by the way? As opposed, you have your original report. You're going to call it this, but a member of the party, which you support, it seems like you're taking a lot of feedback from the Democrat Party, comes in and says, we want you to change grossly negligent, because it sounds bad in the original statement. Apparently, Comey is a glory hound. He acknowledged that he had made a conscious decision not to tell department leadership about his plans to make a separate statement because he was concerned they would instruct him not to do that. The Department of Justice and FBI changed the law to exonerate Hillary. This is kind of an interesting angle. The Attorney General says that based on precedent, Hillary would have to be have a certain state of mind, they say, quote, so gross as to almost suggest deliberate intention. Okay. A couple of other key notes here. And I'm, by the way, I'm taking these from the Daily Wire. There's a 500-page report. I only had so much time, and I know this is a pretty right-leaning publication, but still, this is what I think are some pretty interesting points here after going through it. The FBI wildly botched the reopening of the Hillary case. The Attorney General report found that the Anthony Weiner case agent had spotted Hillary emails on September 26. He informed the New York field office September 28. FBI Director Andrew McCabe knew about it the same day. He then mentioned it to Comey, and nobody mentioned it again for nearly a full month until just prior to the election. The FBI agents prioritized the Russia investigation above the Hillary investigation reopening, which Jim Jordan earlier today made the point, which I think is a valid point. You can say, okay, you really didn't get a lot of information off this Anthony Weiner laptop, but guess what? You didn't know that at the time. You decided to ignore one to prioritize the other, okay? And in the middle of this new information that was hidden from these investigators, you still decided to act the way you did. So no political bias there? Okay. Comey revealed the reopening investigation to Congress because he thought Hillary was going to win. We already knew that one. Five separate agents sent pro-Clinton, anti-Trump text, many of which implied using official authority to target Trump. Implying to use authority to target Trump is something that I'm going to ask you again. Do you really believe there's no political bias there? Comey, Strzok, and Page used personal email to conduct FBI business. FBI employees leaked to the press regularly, and former Assistant Attorney General should have recused himself in this but decided not to. There's a couple of things that I think are important also to point out, mostly because some of these text messages that they knew about was left out. Left out. Viva la resistance. Let's get to some of those coming up, too. I got to take a break, but I want to get some of your comments on this at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I think the one thing we can all agree on, Republican or Democrat, whatever way you decide to look at this report, is that James Comey was absolutely justified to be fired. Can anyone look at this report and say Comey should have kept his job after this? So that's the one thing we should all agree on. So the investigation of wrongdoing into Russian meddling and saying that President Trump was impeding on this investigation by firing Comey, I think looks pretty justified now. So at least that could be taken off the table, right? Right? I hope we can agree on that. Your call's coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
More local reporters, more local news. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. KMOX.
Overnight America continues. Yes, we are here live. We are in St. Louis. It is the last show of the week, and what a humdinger of a show. I try to use that word appropriately. It doesn't really work here, I guess. But reviewing this report that came out today. Viva la resistance. Mueller team attorney sending anti-Trump texts along with many others. We're still trying to figure out who attorney number two is in this Department of Justice report. Hillary, pretty reckless, however, coming to the conclusion that maybe the investigation conclusion was accurate, regardless of all the other things leading up to it. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So this report comes out. I think Republicans and Democrats are looking at this in two separate ways. The Republicans, of course, looking at the parts where there shows bias. The Democrats pointing to the parts where it says there was no bias. And it goes back and forth. Does this report change anything to you? Rich calling in from South Bend. Hey, Rich.
Hey. If this report is biased, it was pro-Trump. Comey had no business running his mouth in July of 2016. There should have been an announcement by the Justice Department, either by a spokesperson or a news release saying no charges will be filed, end of story.
Because no cop,
I don't care if he's a cop on the beat or the police chief or the FBI, if a person is not going to be charged with a crime, you keep your mouth shut.
All right, so you're talking about the couple of days before the election when he said he was going to look at it,
July 2016, when Comey said, no charges will be filed. However, Hillary Clinton is a no-good rat.
If you look at that, at least everyone could agree. Does it look pretty justified of his firing at the time now?
Not then, because politically it would be suicide.
When Trump did it, I'm sorry.
No, if I was President Obama, at 8 a.m. on January 20th, I'd call up the Justice Department and say, Comey, clear out your desk. You're fired.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. To you, it should have happened earlier, but when Trump did it, it was a bad thing?
Well, when Trump did it, he stated to NBC News, I fired him because of Russia, and that's on videotape.
Well, handling, the way he handled the Russian investigation, perhaps. Knowing what he knows now, looking at this report, you don't think that President Trump was justified in firing him?
No.
Now, okay, but it would have been okay July?
Quite frankly, Trump, that was Trump's biggest mistake.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, one part of the report, the FBI report that came out, I want to get your thoughts on this, where you found that Jim Rybicki, who was the chief of staff to Comey, was omitting certain details in communication between President Obama and Hillary Clinton at the time. That was not part of the original reporting. Do you find that's a little fishy?
No, because there was no charges filed against Hillary. Comey had no business running his mouth. Hillary Clinton, like everybody else, has constitutional rights.
Wait, but I'm asking, when they put these conclusions together, when they called President Obama, quote, another senior government official, you don't think that's a little weird that they couldn't just say President Obama communication that he had with this part of the investigation? You don't think they're trying to hide something?
No.
Okay.
Because quite frankly, no charges were filed. That's the point. No charges filed.
Well, this is in June. This would have been the month before.
Somebody would have. You know what? If you were being investigated for spitting on the sidewalk and the St. Louis cops couldn't prove it, they have no business running their mouth, calling you every name in a book. You have constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm. But this is a month before July, before these other email stuff came out. That you're talking about July of 2016. This happened in June, where they were talking to each other.
It doesn't matter. But there was no interference. You know, you want to be kissing Comey's feet.
Mm-hmm.
Comey handed Trump the White House. And if Trump did something stupid, he's going to get stepped on.
Okay. You really? All right, Rich, I see what you're saying, but I just don't agree.
Clinton got raped over the coals, and before the election, not one word that Trump that the Trump campaign was being investigated by the FBI. To the American voters, Trump may be a little crazy, but he's not being investigated. Hillary's got investigated. The FBI agent, the FBI director says she's a rat. With any bias, as I said, every day, Trump should be thanking Jim Comey.
Yeah. All right. Hey, good to hear from you, Rich. Have a great weekend.
Fine.
I want to read this one part here. And let me just read this because it has to do with Jim Rybicki, who was the chief of staff to Comey. A June 25th draft added a sentence to a paragraph that summarized the factors that led the FBI to conclude that it was possible that hostile actors accessed former Secretary Clinton's private server. The new sentence stated, quote, she also used her personal email extensively while outside the U.S., including from a territory of sophisticated adversaries. They used that use included an email exchange with the president while Secretary Clinton was on the territory of such an adversary. On June 30th, Rybicki circulated another version that changed the second sentence to remove the reference to the president, replacing it with another senior government official. The final version of the statement omitted the reference altogether and instead read, quote, she also used her personal email exclusively while outside the United States, including sending and receiving work-related emails in the territory of sophisticated adversaries. The FBI emails indicate that the decision to remove this sentence was based on concerns under the risk of the Privacy Act. So you have the President of the United States, and if they're actually looking into this, it kind of shows he might have had a hand in this investigation. President Trump sits down with James Comey or whatever after he gets elected, and everyone says this is obstruction. If the president was emailing and in the middle of being part of this investigation into Hillary Clinton, what does that say? Is that worse than President Trump sitting down with Comey? How do you justify there being no political bias, though? What would be the point? They say that it was concerns under the Privacy Act, but this is the president of the United States. There was another, let me read this part too. This is something else that was part of the report. In accessing the decision to prioritize the Russian investigation over following up on the mid-year related investigation led discovered on the Wiener laptop, we were particularly concerned about text messages sent by Strzok and Page that potentially indicated or created the appearance that investigative decisions they made were impacted by bias or improper considerations. Most of the text messages raising such questions pertain to the Russia investigation and implication in some of these text messages, particularly Strzok's August 8th text messages, quote, will stop candidate Trump from being elected, was that Strzok might be willing to take official action to impact a presidential candidate's electoral prospects. Under these circumstances, we did not have confidence that Strzok's decisions to prioritize the Russian investigation over following up on the mid-year related investigate led discovered on the Wiener laptop was free from bias. So they can't say there was bias, but they can't say it was free from bias. If looking at this in hindsight, hindsight's 2020. If nothing comes from this whole Russian investigation with President Trump, if it all, Mueller comes back and says, not only did I look under every rock, man, I got a time machine. I put on a Groucho Marx glasses and fake mustache, and I was there tailing the president through this whole time, and I didn't see anything. Outside of that happening, let's say it does happen. Let's say Mueller comes back and says, well, the president didn't do anything illegal. He might have been naive in some of the people he trusted. He may have not gone through proper security checks with the people that were around him, but he didn't do anything illegal. And he comes back and says, no charges, period. We're done. And the people that we indicted, we're going to prosecute them. We're going to look into them a little bit further if there's any money laundering, but done. And he claps his hand twice and walks out the room like a genie, and then Mueller's gone. If that's exactly what happens, then we look back at a decision of why the FBI decided to look at Russian meddling as opposed to perhaps mid-year investigations when it came to some of like the Wiener laptop, when it came to the Hillary Clinton emails, and going soft on those in order to force onto the Russian side. So I think what we don't know into the Russian investigation is going to be the key to this report. I think we're missing, it's almost like the magic key that will put all of this together. This is almost like chapters 1 through 8, and we're waiting for 9 through 16 to come out afterwards. And we're at a cliffhanger moment. Because if nothing comes from it, and we look at the way they handled the investigation and prioritized it when there was nothing there, then we can show there could have been some bias. If the information they had indicated there was nothing there, but they wanted to pry further into it because they just wanted to, is not a good enough answer. The answer is it was there had to have been bias. But if we find out there was reason for them to look into it, more than what we know now, then there may legitimize this report. But until I actually see that, I really see bias. That's what I'm seeing right now. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Overnight America and Ryan Recker continues on KMOX.
Thanks for coming back to Overnight America. I try not to do so many politics. It's hard to find the secret recipe when it comes to balancing between political stories and non-political stories, but when there's so many important things that come out, it's hard and impossible to ignore it. Because I also want to talk about Jeff Sessions, the comments he made today in Indiana. People are only playing a very small clip of his comments, and I want to play the whole thing for you. Because I think it's important to point out how people are taking him out of context. I know they play the part, but I want you to hear his full argument because it may change the way you look at how people are bringing up this whole grabbing kids out of the hands at the southern border narrative that they're trying to use as their next big rallying cry for the midterm elections. I want to play those coming up too, but the big investigation that came out, I just don't see how there's no political bias. Department of Justice saying that no political bias. To me, I think it was their way of trying not to create more chaos and cover their own back ends. They want to downplay the much bigger issue, and it's easier to hide or omit or lie than it is to face the consequences when it's happening. It's easy to go back, oh, this happened 2 years ago. Oh, July of 2016, we can finally talk about this sort of thing. Oh, we can now say that it was the president was involved, but, you know, before we didn't want to say it. We can now say that there was people working in the FBI actively hating Donald J. Trump, a candidate that was running for office and doing what they could, or at least knowing that they've said through text messages they're going to do what they can in order to get him not elected. But, you know, I announced 2 years ago, that's okay. But it's really not. It's not. Let me get to Jeff from Ferguson. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Nothing much. From what I could understand from this report, there's stuff in there for both sides.
Yeah, each side's trying to push it a little bit. I was watching... Well, I was trying to see how CNN would handle these stories. So you had, Anderson Cooper, who led with this very story. Because this is a big story. So Anderson Cooper led with it and started talking about it. Then we had Cuomo on after that. And he started with the border story, the one with Jeff Sessions, and then walked into this one. And then I think...
About the children too, after this.
The children. Yeah, okay. So what are your thoughts on it?
That everyone is talking about how it means separating the children from the parents. Mm-hmm. Well, when they cross the border illegally is there are adults with minors. We don't know anything else than that.
Right. We don't. There's a lot of things. You're exactly right that we don't know. We act like we're abandoning these children, like we're going to put them up on Skid Row and say, "Good luck, kids, have fun." But what's happening when the kids are taken away? There's something that's happening here. Normally, the adult that is with them is being detained, and they're putting these kids into the hands of either a relative or a home. And it's not like they're not getting fed. It's not like they're not being taken care of.
Because how do we know the adults with them when they cross the border are not trafficking?
That too. That happens a lot. The trafficking side. What was the statistic of the amount of women that said they were either raped or abused by the coyotes trying to get them through the border? It happens. It's so frequent. It's disgusting. So they don't know. No one knows. And child trafficking is absolutely a thing.
So like I said, and so sounds like what the add back to the IG report. it sounded like they did what Comey did with Hillary. Comey played out all this stuff with Hillary in that July press conference and then said she didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
Say that again. So Comey laid out the Hillary stuff?
Yeah, and then said, and then he said she really didn't do anything at the end of the conference.
Oh, I see. Okay, so what you're basically saying is that this report is laying out a bunch of things they actually did, but in the end said, well, it's really not enough to act on.
Yeah.
Interesting. That very well could be.
And then one last thing. I want to ask Rich, the caller who it was before me.
Yeah, in South Bend.
Yeah. How would the people on Rich's side feel if there are FBI people texting they would not let Hillary or Obama be president?
Yeah. How, if they were actively investigating the way they should have, if during the Hillary investigation, if the people in the FBI were saying, we're going to do everything we can in order to nail her. We don't want her to win. She can't be the next president. Yeah, if the people in the FBI were saying that sort of thing. You know, but the opposite is true about the other person running for president. For whatever reason, the Democrats are too upset about that sort of thing. They don't see that as bias.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to comment about.
Good to hear from you, Jeff. Have a great weekend. All
right. Thank you.
So I want to play for you, I guess, some of the comments from Jeff Sessions, who made a speech earlier today in Indiana. And I thought it was actually not bad of a speech. I should probably go to break here. But what I did was cut a couple of segments leading up to the reference to the Bible. And I want to give my thoughts on it. I don't necessarily think that was a wise thing for him to do. I don't think he has to justify the law based on the Bible. The reason he did it, though, I kind of understand why. Because keep in mind that crowd. I used to live in that Northeast Indiana. That's a heavily populated religious area. So the crowd he was talking to, he's definitely talking to them. I get that. But keep in mind, the rest of the internet doesn't work that way. The crowd is a much more broad crowd, and people are going to take what you say, perhaps, in a different light or out of context. And that's all they've been running over and over and over again on the news networks, at least for CNN. But I want to play his comments for you and see if you agree with what he said leading up to the biblical reference. And I think you know how I feel on this. I've spoken about it a lot because of my own faith on this show. I'll reiterate that coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
Local news, award-winning news, St. Louis's news, traffic and weather. KMOX, depend on it.
Jeff Sessions was in Indiana, was talking about a speech, was talking to law enforcement officers about the situation at the border. Let's play some comments. What you hear is the sensational part that people are really honing in on, but what they're not doing is actually playing the part that leads up to, which I think puts his comments into context. If anything, you hear me always talking about the bias in the media, because omission is one of the easiest ways to show bias. They can leave out some very important details to lead you to the wrong impression and get you all worked up. It's the same thing that happens on the internet all the time. When you go to your favorite social media, Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and all you see is the headline, and all you read is the headline, and you base your entire opinion on the one sentence headline that's up there, and you accept it as truth. And a lot of times, even if you click through, you'll read the story, and unless you go to the very end of the story, you might not even get something that's important, a key detail in that story that they decide to purposely hide in the end because they feel like, well, maybe that's how we'll defend our journalistic integrity. We'll at least put a disclaimer at the end that may tell a different story because we don't know it all. So here is Jeff Sessions. I'm going to play for you, and this is part of the speech, and I want you to come to your own conclusion about what he said earlier today.
To illustrate, in 23rd country with children, it was a de facto open borders if you came with children. The results were unsurprising. More and more illegal aliens started showing up at the border with children. To illustrate, in 2013, there were fewer than 15,000 family units apprehended crossing our border illegally. That is, between the ports of entry and dangerous areas in the country. 5 years later, it was more than 75,000, a five-fold increase in 5 years. It didn't even have to be their child that was brought. It could be anyone.
Okay, I'm going to keep playing here, but keep in mind, during these policies, we're not talking about the last year with President Trump. We're talking about the past 5 years and the giant increase we've seen at the border. Can you think of something that may have changed over the last 5 years? Perhaps the president that was in office last time, President Obama, talking about, this whole open border philosophy. Hey, why don't you come on in and you're not going to be prosecuted. We got these things called sanctuary cities. Guess what? He was encouraging people to cross the border illegally. And that word got back to Mexico. We act like they have no way to communicate with each other and get the word across that there may be a lot of protections here in the United States and they won't prosecute you. It's a little bit of a shock of what's happened the last year when it came to enforcing the laws and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. So let me continue.
So you can imagine that this created a lot of danger. And there was the time that the President Obama used his pen and phone to do something he said he couldn't legally do. And that was in July of 2012. He announced he would give legal status to 800,000 illegal aliens, along with work authorization and other benefits like Social Security, which I do not believe then or now was lawful.
Okay, so that's talking about the DACA program. We can look at where immigration is today, the things that President Trump wants to do, but for whatever reason, it seems like when Chuck Schumer sits down, he sabotages himself and doesn't want to do what Trump is offering. He wants more. Think about if the Democrats in Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, sat down with the president and actually accepted the president's four-point plan that he wanted to do for immigration. How this could be a different story. However, they refused to do that. Let me continue.
The number of unaccompanied alien children arriving at our border nearly doubled in 1 year. The next year, it doubled again. That could hardly be a coincidence. The president had sent the wrong message, and criminal networks spread the lie that kids could get amnesty. As a result, tens of thousands of vulnerable children made the journey, dangerous journey north, with humanitarian consequences. And then in 2014, the Obama administration doubled down and attempted to expand its unlawful amnesty.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is Jeff Sessions in Indiana setting up the part that is played on CNN and MSNBC over and over and over again. Now, before I play that part, there is one other thing he said before this. When all of the commentators that are highly critical of this are saying that what we're doing is ripping children from mothers' arms, we act like we're essentially shifting them over to Skid Row and saying, here we go, kids, you know, welcome to the jungle. You know, it gets worse every day, and little Guns N' Roses playing in the background, and these kids are on their own. It's not really the case.
This is HHS, our Health and Human Services, something entirely different from the criminal justice system.
They're taking these kids, by the way.
To take care of these children in a good and decent and proper way. We currently spend more than $1 billion a year of taxpayers' dollars taking care of unaccompanied alien minors. Most of these are in the HHS custody. They are provided food and education in their native language, health and dental care, and transported, as one witness before our committee said, what do you do next? He said, we transport them to their destination city. Well, that might be Maine or Alaska or San Francisco or Chicago or Washington, D.C., so that we transport them where they want to go while they're in the country, perhaps undergoing a hearing, maybe never showing up for a hearing. It should be noted that the perils to which these parents subject their children is serious. Hundreds of aliens die every year trying to make it to the border illegally in this country.
Okay. So keep in mind, it's not like we're grabbing people from Mexico and forcing them over here and ripping the families apart. It's not a great situation to be in, by no means. the decisions that the people that try to enter this country illegally are making are their decision that we are forced to react to. If they're detained and the adult is forced to go through some sort of court hearing and the kids, do you want them to go to the jail with the parents waiting for their hearing? Is that what we want? Or is it better that the Health and Human Services place them with these other families or perhaps other relatives that are in the country already? Keep in mind that we learned that when they do enter this country illegally, if they know someone here, they say, I want to be prosecuted in fill in the blank. So if they know someone in L.A., they know someone in St. Louis, they know someone in Chicago, whatever it is, that's where they get the ticket to go get their processing. So they get a free ticket to go where they want to in the United States. We find that they may show up for the hearing or the whatever the bond hearing or whatever it is and say, okay, you have to show up in court at this date. Here's what your bond statement is or whatever. Just show up and then they never do. So then they're reunited with their children. And they know this. It's not like this is their first rodeo, not their first rodeo. And they know if that's what's going to happen and then they can disappear and leave live illegally in the United States, they'll continue to be taken care of. And this is a broken system. It's terrible, broken system. The morality of it is that the United States still takes care of these people. You may not like that the children are separated from the parents, but would you prefer that the kids, I guess let's ask this question. What would you rather have? The kids stay with the parent in a holding cell? We'll just set up family holding cells? Oh, yeah. How well did that work when President Obama did it? Not that great. Or do you prefer that we just open the borders completely and let anyone in because it would be a moral crime to detain people that are coming to this country illegally? Do we just want to have open borders? Which I think is the broader argument the Democrats are trying to force here. All right, the big statement from Jeff Sessions coming up next. Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.